Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm. Have a live link there at thetrumpet.com as well. Have you ever wondered about righteous angels? What is the role of righteous angels? Angels have been depicted on television programs and in movies and things like that. They appear in literature, and so there's different concepts and ideas about angels. What does the Bible have to say about righteous angels? What are they doing today? God created them, and they have important roles to fulfill in the lives of God's people, and they certainly are important in the plan that God has for mankind. Now, the Bible lists various types of angels. Let's look and see what the Bible says about this. We'll start with Psalm 99, and if you have a Bible handy, it'd be great to get it out so we can look at these scriptures together. Psalm 99, in verse 1, it says, "The Eternal reigns, let the people tremble. He sits between the cherubims, let the earth be moved." This is a quote now from Lesson 18 of our correspondence course. The title is the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. And this particular lesson gets into a lot of details about angels and demons as well. But it says, "Cherubim are associated with God's throne, either transporting it about or carrying out important directives from that throne, such as guarding the tree of life after Adam and Eve sinned." You could read about that in Genesis 3:24. It says, "Recall that Lucifer, an anointed cherub," and again, the reference there is Ezekiel 28 in verse 14, "was given great authority to administer God's government over millions of angels on earth before Adam." The best description of cherubim is found in the book of Ezekiel. In chapters 1 and 10, we read of cherubim transporting God's throne. They are described as large, powerful, four-faced creatures with four wings. So that's very different than probably you would see in artwork or, you know, different depictions of angels. But that's what the Bible describes cherubim as. Large, powerful, four-faced creatures with four wings. There are other types of angels as well. Notice Isaiah 6. God created different types of angels for different jobs and different functions. And here we see another type, Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 7. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Eternal sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims." So this is another type of angel, seraphims, and now they're described. It says, "Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And so you get a description there of this other type of angel, seraphims. Verse 6, drop down to that. It says, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me." Remember, they can fly with their wings. It says, "having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar." So you can read through the whole account and get the story flow there. But what an incredible vision here of seraphim. So this is another type of angel that God created. Lesson 18 of the correspondence course, it says, "The seraphim bear a general resemblance to the human figure and have six wings, whereas the four beasts, or better translated, living creatures, are described as having the combined features of cherubim and seraphim." And so we'll look at that here in a minute. And then talks about the 24 elders. That's something else that the Bible discusses. Those are other spirit beings that the Bible discusses. And they're dressed in white clothing. We are not given a lot of detail about them, but they're dressed in white clothing. They have a golden crown on their heads. And you can read about that in Revelation 4, verses 2 through 11. So specifically, we've looked at cherubim and seraphim. Now let's look at Revelation 5 and verse 6. Revelation 5 and verse 6. It's really interesting to look at these passages. I mean, this is a realm that we don't see with our eyes physically. We don't see the angelic realm or the spirit realm, but we read about it, and it can seem, you know, so different, obviously, than what we would see. But again, it's important that we understand what God writes in the Bible. How else would we know about these things? We'd have no idea unless God revealed it. Revelation 5 and verse 6, it says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts," we talked about that here just a little bit before, "and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." So there's different types of angels. God has angels who continually walk through the earth to observe and report to him overall conditions in the world. You know, what's going on. We don't see it with our eyes. If we did, we'd probably act like many of these writers in the Bible that did see the angelic realm in vision, and they just about passed out. In some cases, they did pass out because they were overwhelmed by it. So this is really different than, you know, what we see in our day-to-day lives. But there's a world out there, a spirit world, that in fact is more real than our physical world around us. The physical world deteriorates, but that spirit world continues on. Notice Daniel 7, verses 9 through 10. Again, we're just looking at some of the descriptions in the Bible about angels, and we'll look here in a minute at some of what they do. I mean, God has a purpose for everything he creates. God created them. He has a purpose for it and for all of them and jobs that they need to do. But again, it has a lot to do with you and me, as we'll see here in just a minute. Daniel 7, verses 9 through 10. It says, "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000s ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened." There are millions of angels serving God at his universe ruling throne in heaven. There are millions of them, and they all serve God. They have a purpose. They have jobs. They have things that they need to do. It's a massive amount. But the ones that are righteous, they are being used by God today, and they're being used to help his people. Notice Psalm 34 and verse 7. We get some insight into what these angels are doing and how they're occupying their time and what God is having them do. Psalm 34 and verse 7, it says, "The angel of the Eternal encamped round about them that fears him and delivered them." We're protected. We're delivered. God sees to that. Again, lesson 18 of the correspondence course, it says, "God's ministering spirits are assigned to help his heirs along the road to eternal life." And that's talking about you and me, those that God has called today and that he's working with. God's angels help when they're needed. It says to save them from premature death and or accidents, and to help fight their battles and protect them from the devil and his demons. You know, how many times have you been protected from something? Probably quite a few if you're striving to obey God. Quite a few times, and probably a lot more than we even realize. I think we can all relate to, you know, coming upon an accident upon the road and thinking, wow, if I had been here just a minute earlier, that would have been me. And sometimes we can think back to, you know, something that delayed us or something. There's all sorts of things that have happened, sometimes really specific and obvious, you know, miracles that prevented real problem and real serious injury or premature death. Well, God does have his angels about his people. Now, of course, we have to be careful and we try to stay out of problems. We try to avoid, you know, difficulties. But sometimes there are accidents and things like that. And very often, God has his angels intervene, you know, according to his plan and according to how he's working with people and so forth. We don't know all the details of everyone's life, but we have examples in the Bible to look at. Notice, again, this quote from the Correspondence Course, Lesson 18. It says, God's ministering spirits are assigned to help his heirs along the road to eternal life, as we read, you know, there's protection there. It says, angels are also messengers. They spoke to Abraham, Lot, Hagar, Moses, Gideon, Elijah, and many of the prophets and apostles. And when these angels manifest themselves to human beings, they do so in the form of ordinary men. So again, some of what we read earlier, that was, you know, people were seeing that in vision. But, you know, in day-to-day life, sometimes angels would manifest themselves to give a message. And there are examples we read about in the Bible, and they appeared as men. You can read that. It says, Paul points out in Hebrews 13 and verse 2 that they sometimes travel incognito on God's business, not revealing that they are angels. But righteous angels never capriciously appear and disappear merely to amuse either themselves or men. Right? God's righteous angels are loyal to God. They're about his business. They usually work in ways that people don't know they were even there or did anything. As it says, angels don't just show up and then disappear to, you know, for some sort of amusement or something like that. It's very specific to help God's people when needed. Notice Hebrews 2, and we'll read verses 6 through 8. So it's really amazing to think about, and it is important to think about the spirit world. Now, obviously, we are to worship God and God alone, but we do need to understand why he has created different aspects of his creation. The Bible does tell us about different types of angels, and it tells us about the jobs that they have. And God is using them to help his plan and to help his people. And as times get more intense and there are more difficulties and trials, well, we need that help more and more. Hebrews 2 here, verses 6 through 8. It says, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? So this is hearkening back to David, and I mean, a great question to ask, because understanding the physical creation and the spiritual creation, you say, well, where does man fit into this? Why are we here? What's the purpose? Why would angels be used to look after God's people? Verse 7, it says, you made him, talking about man, a little lower, or it should read, a little while lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. See, we don't see yet all that God is going to give us rule over. We read about it, and if God's opening our mind, we can understand that. But God has a plan for mankind, and of course, man is to be ultimately born into the family of God. If we become the spirit-born sons of God, then we are promised rulership over the angels. The angels right now are stronger, of course, than mankind, but man's potential is so much greater because it's a God-plane potential, and the angels are thrilled about that, the righteous ones. And they're thrilled to help God protect his people in preparation for then his people being born into his family. Notice again this quote from Lesson 18 of the Correspondence Course. And, you know, so as we talk about angels, it's interesting and something that I think we're probably curious about. And it's wonderful that we can look and see what the Bible says about it. But it also shows what our incredible potential is, because God has a far greater potential for us. I mean, just the way some of the angels are described and the power that they have, I mean, that's far above, you know, what mankind can do, but God has a much greater opportunity and potential for us. So it really shows how valuable we are to God, that he would invest all those resources and all that time and all those angels into looking after his people, because we're his family. Lesson 18, it says, angels, higher than man is now, were created to be God's servants, messengers, and representatives in the administration of his universe ruling government. Now, in relation to man, angels are commissioned to minister to and serve the spirit-begotten children of God, who are his spiritual heirs. It says, to illustrate the primary activity of God's angels today, we might consider the status of the young man of a wealthy man. While still a child, he may be under the care of an adult servant or guardian designated by his father. The servant is older, farther advanced in knowledge, much more developed physically and mentally, but far lower potentially. For when the son is mature, he will inherit his father's wealth and power. Therefore, the servant, older and more mature, is only a servant ministering to the young heir. Likewise, angels are ministering to spirit-begotten humans today. God puts his angels about his people. He protects his people. He works with his people, and he uses his angels as servants to help and to support and to protect. It's amazing what God has created. And as interesting as that spirit realm is to us, I think, because it's different than what we see every day, the main thing is that it shows us our potential. That God, again, would invest all of that time and effort into keeping us safe and to working with us, because he wants us to be born into his family. Mr. Armstrong wrote in Mystery of the Ages about some experiences that he had with angels in his life. You know, some moments that really stood out where he was protected and where his family was protected. It's great to go back and look at those examples. You know, you can think about your own life, times where God has intervened on your behalf. It really just shows how much God cares about us and how much he wants to help us. If you'd like to learn more about angels, righteous angels, and demons and Satan, and it's important to understand all about both, please get this lesson of the correspondence course. It's lesson 18. Also, Mystery of the Ages gives a lot of detail that I think you'll find very interesting and certainly very important to understand. Mystery of the Ages is free, and it's at thetrumpet.com. You can request it for free, or you can read it there online or download it, whatever you'd like to do. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thank you for spending some of your time with me today. And until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.